Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thank the Lord for allowing us to be on the line tonight together. Man, we thank the Lord for being omnipresent, even through the technology, through the phone lines, through the computer systems. We thank the Lord that he allows us to come together and meet together. He creates a heavenly place. Wherever he is, wherever his presence is, it creates a heavenly place. And even on the Zoom call, we're calling on the Lord for his presence to be manifest tonight, for all to be blessed. And just knowledge increased. I'll be your speaker this evening, Elder Brasher. And it's always a privilege to be able to speak and to be able to come before God's people. As Moses said, there's no greater people on the face of the earth. And I do believe that. And I just believe that you all are some great people. And the Lord is going to do great things for all of you individually and us collectively. There's some prayer requests that came. Pastor Perkins is extremely busy this evening. He's got a couple of people to visit that are sick, one being his brother, and then a sister who used to attend our church. She's in Knoxville now, named Sister Kay. She's got a sister in Murfreesboro that's just, I don't know if she may be close on a deathbed type of thing, but she's very extremely sick. Her name is Barbara Tolliver, and we're going to pray for her. Also, Sandy Danner, a friend of mine, called me today and said he got an unexpected call from a friend of his. He didn't have any idea that she was in the hospital. She said, "I'm bleeding on the brain, and I was on my way out of town out of the country." So she said, "I got my visa, and I was about to go out of the country and to live and to work. And I got this bleeding on my brain." So her name is Sandy Danner. Also, please pray for Deacon Putman. He had a cousin that just unexpectedly passed away from an asthma attack. So there's a lot of things to pray for. So let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and the health that you give us every day. We thank you, Lord, for being so good and so kind. And Lord God, allowing us to be able to bring these names before you. We thank you for our health and our strength. We don't take that for granted as a cliche, Lord, but you have strengthened us enough to get on this line tonight. Some people, Lord God, can't even look on a computer screen or a phone screen because they're so sick in bed and Lord, with illness. Please remember these names, Lord. Barbara Tolliver, Lord, you know what's going on in her body. Lord God, you can heal her body, you can maintain, you can sustain her body. So Lord God, we're asking, Lord God, and we're speaking in faith for both Barbara Tolliver and Sandy Danner, Lord God, with the bleeding on her brain. Lord God, we're speaking and we're pleading the blood over them right now. We're calling upon you, Lord, to do the healing. Lord God, we're speaking in faith, Lord. We don't know these people, Lord God, but we're asking you, Lord God, like the Roman centurion said, we know that you have the power and the authority. All you got to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. So, Lord God, we are speaking the word tonight. Lord God, we're speaking in faith. We're pleading the blood over Sandra Danner, over Barbara Tolliver, Lord, over Deacon Putman's family with the unexpected loss of his cousin. Lord God, work, Lord, we know that you can work in all of these lives, in all of these situations, and that you know all that are involved here, Lord God, and we're just speaking the word in faith by your stripes, Lord, by your blood, Lord, we're believing that they are healed, and Lord, there will be a great testimony that I was sick, and the Lord raised me up and got me going again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we believe, Lord God, hallelujah, we're looking to see, we're believing to see, Lord God, the testimonies, and Lord, even these individuals that may come back by or get online to let us know that the Lord healed me, and we thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord God, for everything you do. Lord, tonight, Lord, let my thoughts be your thoughts, and Lord, let your words be my words, and Lord God, as I speak, you please minister, Lord, that someone's knowledge may be increased, understanding may be increased, and maybe they can see you a little more plain, Lord God, and give you glory. And Lord, as we serve you, we thank you, we love you for everything that you do, in Jesus' name, amen. So we thank the Lord for all of you on the line tonight. And I'm gonna continue on with a Bible class that I taught a couple of weeks ago. It's Bible doctrine. It's part of the plan of salvation, being born again. We talked about being born again, and Jesus said it, man. He taught it. He taught the apostles and the other disciples that followed him. They continued to teach it. They continued to preach it. Until they died or were martyred. And it has continued on this plan of salvation from which Jesus began to speak this to Nicodemus in the third chapter of Saint John. And we're going to spring from there. And the title is Jesus Said You Must Be Born Again. Jesus said you must be born again. And what does it mean? We talked about that last week. And why do I need to be born again? So we're going to start off, and I'm going to give you scriptures along the way. I love the word, and I'm going to teach you from the word the best that I possibly can. So we're going to start here with where the term even came from and where we first see this term to be born again. And then we're going to go from there. So the scripture starts off and says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So we know that from this description, there's a lot in this description. Pharisees were, they were the rulers. They were the ones that are the upper echelon of Jewish society. They were also part of the Jewish Supreme Court, is what I call it, which was called the Sanhedrin Court. 70 Pharisees, scribes, but these were some of the most conservative, most staunch upholders, they thought, of the Old Testament law. And they were the one, these Pharisees were the ones who ridiculed and ostracized Jesus on a daily basis. And ultimately, they called for him to be crucified and be destroyed, and they hated Jesus. And Nicodemus, being a very unusual thing, that this man of his stature, being a ruler, one of power and authority, highly respected, highly revered in Jewish society, that the Lord, that he would draw to the Lord. A man of power, authority, wealth. When the Pharisees came through the streets, the people just parted and just let the Pharisees go through. They reverenced these Pharisees. So they were the enforcers of the law, and also they were the so-called experts. So it describes Nicodemus as a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. And interesting, it said the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. And what you see here in this scripture is, first of all, it's the Lord that saves. The Lord is the one who draws us. The Lord is the one who saves us. He's in control of this whole situation, working on Nicodemus in the synagogue. He was drawing him through the words that he was teaching and the words he was preaching and the miracles that he was working, that the other Pharisees criticized him for working miracles on the Sabbath day and doing things that they were accusing him of being unlawful according to the laws of Moses. He insulted them in his teaching when he made the statement, you've heard it said, but I say. Can you remember that statement? You've heard it said, but I say. Well, who said it? It was the teachers. It was those rabbis. It was those Pharisees that was teaching them. And he would come back, and when he would go preaching the word and teaching the scripture, giving them the understanding of what the true intent of the Old Testament laws were, he would say, you've heard it said, but I say. And they said, nobody's ever taught like this. People said, nobody's ever taught like this before, because he doesn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees. He's teaching like one who has authority. He has authority. Man, this is the same Lord that gave Moses the word in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, he comes as a man manifested in flesh. Amen. And he's giving them, telling them the intent of the word that he gave to Moses. And they couldn't refute what he said. So he's, while he's doing the miracles and while he is being criticized and while they are attacking him, you know, verbally in the synagogues, and Jesus stumps them on every question that they have, Nicodemus is taking note. He's a judge while Jesus and these apostles, these raggedy apostles that are following him, are coming into the court and coming into the synagogue. Amen. But at the same time, Jesus is drawing this one individual. The Lord is always concerned, amen, is always reaching for your heart. He's always reaching for your mind, amen. He's always drawing by his cords of love those that are humble enough to receive him and to receive what he is saying. You know, I can't save anybody. Only the Lord can. But Paul said in the book of Corinthians that one plants, another waters, but the Lord gives the increase to that soul, saves and makes and brings them into the body and makes them fruitful and productive. He's the one that gives the increase. So here you're seeing how the Lord works on the heart of a man, and it doesn't make any difference what their status is in society. Those that love the Lord and are willing to receive him and his word, he will bless and he will draw by his cords of love. And that's what he was doing to Nicodemus. Nicodemus's name, and we stated it, means victory over people. His name means victory over people. And that was the one thing that Nicodemus had to do in order to be able to come to the Lord. And that is the same thing that a lot of people have to overcome. What are people going to say? The people that those that were in his group were the ones who condemned Jesus, but he was starting to believe Jesus. He was drawn by the miracles and all that he saw done. And we see in the scripture, and we're going to go through this, and then we're going to hit this, the other part, why do I need to be born again? For he comes to Jesus by night. And you know, Jesus was traveling with those apostles. And I believe the Lord set this whole thing up, because I don't see an apostle in this passage of scripture anywhere. I believe the Lord went on and put them to sleep. I believe that they were asleep, knocked out. Jesus was waiting. He knew that that Nicodemus was being drawn and Nicodemus was curious, and he knew that Nicodemus was going to come that night to him, to not really knowing what to say, other than we know. He called him, first of all, he called him a rabbi, which is a master teacher. And these Pharisees were master teachers. So he's just reverencing the Lord. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. We know. All of these Pharisees that saw the teaching, heard the teaching, saw the miracles, they really knew. They just not didn't want to accept because of envy. So he says, no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. Okay. So he's saying there's a connection with God, a connection with the power and the presence of God, just by these miracles and the teaching and the miracles that we're seeing you do. But Jesus is always concerned about our souls and wanting our souls saved, ultimately so that we can be with him in heaven. So we can be in continual communion with the Lord. So we can be in continual fellowship with him. Amen. In a place that he has prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. Now, and he has chosen us. Amen. We didn't know that, but he knew the heart of Nicodemus. He knew the heart of you all that are on the line tonight, that are listening these scriptures here, which he left on record for us. But Jesus is trying to redirect his attention away from the miracles. And he wants him to see his soul and how his soul is empty and how his soul is craving to be filled. A lot of people have this void in their spirit, in their soul. And that void is your soul crying out to be united with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God from the beginning that you were intended to be in fellowship and in communion with. Our souls still have that crying out and still have that desire to be connected with God's Spirit. And that's what the Lord is wanting, is showing us here, how we reconnect. How we reconnect with Jesus, how we reconnect with that same spirit in the beginning, a man that walked with Adam in the cool of the day as they talked and communed with one another. Amen. He's wanting to restore that relationship. So he immediately turns Nicodemus's thoughts away from the miracles that he had seen in the synagogue. And he speaks to him concerning salvation and his soul. And he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See means to perceive or understand. Unless a man be born again, you can't even understand what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God begins here on earth, and at some points translated from earth, is changed from a natural realm into the spiritual realm. Amen. The Bible says in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And that's one of the reasons why you need the Holy Ghost, because that is what's going to change your body to leave from earth and end up in glory ever to be with the Lord. So he said, first of all, unless you're born again, you can't really understand this and the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus validates what he's saying in verse number 4. Nicodemus said unto him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? And I'm an old man. You know, I've been around for a long time. It's been a long time since I was born. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So we know that's ridiculous. This highly educated man, ruler, man of knowledge, man of education, but he can't understand the spiritual thing. See, he said, you can't really understand this and perceive this unless you actually are born again. Then it'll start to make sense to you. Then he goes, Jesus may try, he goes a little bit further with it to make it a little more plain what he's talking about. Okay. So Jesus answered, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's plain, isn't it? Unless you are born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's talking about baptism. I want this to be very clear, because you may be teaching or witnessing to somebody, and you can go to this concerning being born again and about the baptism. Now, what he's saying here is there's two parts to one baptism. Always keep that in mind. There's baptism in water in Jesus' name, and there's baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The two baptisms make up one baptism. There's two parts to this one baptism. One's not complete without the other. The water baptism the baptism is not complete with just the water baptism. Or some people receive the Holy Ghost before they get baptized in Jesus' name. But you have to have both of water and of Spirit, and they're extremely important. And we're going to try to let you know tonight why both are important. One without the other, the baptism isn't complete. The new birth is not complete. One, if you have one without the other. And the Lord wants us to have it all. He wants for sure for our birth to be complete. Amen. And we, if you got the Jesus name baptism, come on and let's get the Holy Ghost. Let's get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which the Lord baptizes you. Jesus himself baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He visits the sanctuary, and it's the most beautiful, the most peaceful, amen, the most blessed experience that you could ever have. So he goes on to say, and this is part of why we need to be born again. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is spirit. See, your first birth, your natural birth, amen, he's saying flesh gives birth to flesh. You know, your mother and father, whoever they may be, it was their will, their desire, their lust, whatever it may be, love or lust, whatever it may have been. Amen. It gave the product of that was a natural birth, flesh. But he says, but what he's saying here is about the Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. The birth, the spiritual birth, the new birth. Amen. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives birth to your spirit. Okay. Renews your spirit. See, the Holy Spirit renews, it regenerates, it gives life to our spirit that was born in darkness. It gives life to our spirit that was born in darkness. Amen. And it wasn't our fault. Amen. But we came into this life born into sin. Spiritually dead, born into darkness, which means spiritual ignorance. Amen. We had little or no knowledge of the spiritual things of God. And the scripture I want to go to now is Ephesians 2:1, where Paul is letting the Ephesian church know what God's power has done for them through the Holy Ghost. Okay. These people have had the born again. These churches that Paul is writing to have had the born again experience. Okay. So he's trying to emphasize in this scripture and let them know what God's power has done for each of them individually. The Holy Ghost made them alive. It made them alive. So Ephesians 2:1. Hopefully everybody has their Bible. This is Bible study. Maybe a pen and a paper or your phone that you can take notes on. So this is him. These are people that have been born again, been filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's letting them know the power that the Lord exhibited through that. He said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Quickened means he made you alive. He gave you a whole new birth through the Holy Ghost, through the baptism in water in his name, amen, in Jesus' name, and through the Holy Ghost, amen, his spirit, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, amen, is in you. He said, but you were dead in trespasses and sin. You had violated all of God's laws and commandments, and you violated his will and were disobedient. He said, wherein in time past, he's talking to them now, in time past before you were born again, you walked according to the course of this world. Huh? Whatever the world was dictating, that's what you did. And that's what I followed. I was on the ship of the world on my way to the edge. Amen. The edge was going to lead me. I was going to fall off the edge. And the edge, when you get to the edge, is death. Jesus talked about strive to enter in at the straight gate, because broad is the way and wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Man, and the end of that way, this world way, this way of the world, this course of the world, it ends with death, spiritual death. It can start off with natural death, and if you're not born again before your natural death, it'll lead to a spiritual death. I heard an individual, a teacher say, "If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. A natural death." But when you leave from here, your body lays down, your spirit and your soul will rise right up. You'll never die. That flesh that you're in may die, but if you're born again, you can fill with the Holy Ghost, the Lord's spirit is going to rise you right up. Amen. And you'll be fully conscious on the other side. So he says here, we walked according, and this is me, I can sure identify with this. In the past, I walked according to the course of this world. This carnal war, according to the prince and power of the air. That's the devil, who is the influencer of this world. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All I was with were people that were disobedient to God's word. After I started looking into it, and I was one of them. I was right in the middle. As I started reading the word, and I wasn't understanding much of anything. And I'm gonna tell you how lack of understanding I had, and this was before I got saved, but you know, I would party and party, and I'd come in 3 o'clock in the morning, be so drunk and high, but the Lord was dealing with me. I'd end up drunk, coming in, pulling out the Bible, and words being almost so blurred, I could hardly read. But I'm like, I know, Lord, there's something that you have in here for me. And this is how ignorant I was. I would read the gospel. And I'm like, man, something supernatural is happening, because I know I just read that in that last book. The same thing I'm reading in this book. Lord, I know you speaking to me. Didn't know anything about synoptic gospels, that the same stories are in each of the gospels. But the Lord was dealing with me, huh, by night, when nobody else knew the Lord was dealing with me. But I was out there, though, you know, walking according to the west, how the other people were living. It says, verse number 3, among whom we all had our conversation. Conversation means behavior, our manner, our behavior. We all had our behavior in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the lust of our minds. And we were by nature the children of wrath as others. See, there's a judgment that is coming upon this world. That's why the Lord's trying to save and draw as many people, and trying to get them to let go of the world and to come to him. Amen. Because he knows I'm going to have to destroy this world that has been so polluted and contaminated by man, Everything's polluted. Everything's contaminated. The air's polluted. The water's tainted and polluted. The ground has been polluted. And man is polluted. He knew from the beginning, once man sinned, he knew that this world was going to, he was going to destroy this world and create another one for his people. That's why in the book of Revelations, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former earth and heaven were passed away. They were destroyed. And I also saw New Jerusalem coming down out of the clouds from the sky like a bride adorned for her groom. There's going to be a whole new earth. There's going to be the Lord is going to destroy this one. If you didn't know, and Peter made it clear that the elements, all of the elements, the oxygen, the nitrogen, the hydrogen, that we breathe in, that's all around us. He said the elements are going to burn in fervent heat, and this whole world is going to be destroyed. But he is going to save those that have been born again and have committed their lives to him to live holy, righteous, and good lives. And we need the Holy Ghost to be able to do that. So he goes on, he's talking to them about what the Lord has done through the power that he's given them through his Spirit. He said, but God, he said, we were the children of wrath, destined for judgment, even as all of these others. It says, here's our hope, and here's what we rejoice on in this verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive, quickened us together with Christ, and by his grace we're saved. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to give us that favor and that grace, but he did. Amen. And he's given us that opportunity right now for those that are. And then the thing is, too, about the Lord, he doesn't twist anybody's arm behind their back. He doesn't force you to do anything. He'll give you time to make up your mind, but to weigh it all out, that Jesus has been better than me than the world is or ever will be. Jesus, because every time I've called on him, he's come through. But there's been so many people I've called on and they were supposed to be there and they didn't even show up. That's called disappointment. So many people have had your expectations have been way up here and then they didn't even get off the ground. It didn't even get off the, what you were expecting from them didn't even get off the ground. It just laid there. That's what you call disappointment. We've been disappointed, but Jesus has never disappointed us. He's never left us or forsaken us. The worst situation that you felt like I was in, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know what? You made it from that day that you said and made that statement. You made it through that week. You made it through that month and made it through that year all the way up to today. What's the day? February, what, 26, 2025? And the Lord did it. The Lord was your help. The Lord was your strength. Amen. He was your present help in times of troubles and struggles and need. It was the Lord that's been there for you. And that's why he's offering this. That's why he's offering this. And the reason that we need to be born again, I'm going to go to Romans 5 and 12, because Paul gives us some more insight into what happened that caused us to be born into sin. He gives us some insight into what happened that caused us to be born into sin. Romans 5 and 12. Romans 5 and 12. Like I said, it really was not our fault. Adam got us into this mess, okay? But then there was a lot of sins that we committed on our own to after, because there was a sinful nature that was passed on to us. So Romans 5 and 12, this is the insight that Paul received concerning what happened to us. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. by one man, it says, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Not only sin, but death came with the sin, with sin. He says, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. What a revelation that Paul had. Death and sin was passed on to us by one man. Who do you think that was? Who do you think that one man was that passed death and sin on to us? Well, it was Adam. It was Adam. And this gives you some powerful revelation here as to the depth and the extent and how far-reaching that sin was. Adam had no idea because he was created in innocence. But we know in the beginning, the Lord said, says in the word that he created every tree to be eaten. And he told Adam, this is in Genesis 2:17. He said, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat of that one. Because in the day that you eat that tree, you're going to surely die. Now, when the Lord says surely, it's going to happen. That wasn't a threat. That was not a threat. That was the Lord knowing what the results of disobedience would be. See, he knew what was going to take place. It was a fact. Adam had no idea, you know, but we see the results. Man failed. Man failed. But this scripture says, by one man, sin entered into the world. How did it enter into the world? Through the air? did it float out of the garden and float through the world? And man, we just breathe sin in. We just breathe sin in. Is that what happened? It was passed on genetically. See, we don't know the depth of the knowledge of God and the greatness of God. See, sin was imprinted into man's DNA and was passed on to every man, woman, boy, and girl that came into this world through a woman and in the seed of a man. But it was in the DNA. I don't know biologically what the technical biological process, but we do know what the scripture is saying here. By this one man, sin was passed on into the world, and all have sinned. Amen. Let me read this. Let me get this right. It entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, not even having committed a sin. We come into this world, sinners, because it was passed on to us from Adam, on down the line, from man, from baby to baby to baby that grew up, turned into sinful people. Isn't that something? What we talk about is generational curses. A big part of that is simply DNA. It's DNA that has been passed on from our great-great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother, great-great-granddaddy, granddaddy, my daddy, you know. Great-granddaddy was a drunk. Then they say we're predisposed. Then granddaddy was a drunk. Daddy was a drunk. Then all of a sudden, I take a drink and I can't stop. DNA, generational. This is what's explaining it. And David also had a revelation of it in Psalms 51. Psalms 51, y'all. Yeah. This thing was passed on, and I'm going to talk about the three areas of sin. Why do we need to be born again? Because first of all, Adam messed us up and we inherited it. Whether you committed a sin or not, you still inherited sin, And do you know anybody that has not died? Do you know anybody? So what the Lord said, they you see, you shall surely die. Death came from the devil. Death is one of his powers. Death, hell, the grave, all that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. But Psalms 51, after David, this is a psalm where it's just a psalm of remorse and him just being at the lowest point in his life after he committed that sin with Bathsheba, the wife of his one of his most loyal captains, and then which was Uriah, and Uriah had his captain, who was Uriah, had him killed, put on the front line so he'd be killed. When he found out that Uriah's wife is pregnant, and that's my baby. So David covered it up, tried to cover it up by sending Uriah to the front line and had him killed. The hottest part of the battle. And then the prophet came and said, "You the one, Lord, seen everything that you did." And that's when he went into a depression. That's when he went into a point where the Lord had sort of distanced himself, but still was blessing him, keeping him alive, had mercy upon him, because the penalty according to the Old Testament for adultery was to be stoned, the adulterer and the adulteress. But the Lord had mercy upon him. And David was just at his lowest point in his life after he had done that. And he's trying to understand, first of all, the Lord raised me up from being a shepherd boy, to being king over Israel. He's given me everything that I could ever want. Why would I go out there and commit adultery? Why would I go out there and have a man killed? Why would I do all of that after the Lord has done all of these things for me? Why would I still go out there and sin, knowing that it was sin? Well, same thing, basically, that Paul lets us know. He says this in verse number 51:5. He says, "Behold, look at this. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Sin was already there, passed on to me through my mother's womb. Through my mother's womb, the sin was passed on to me. He said, it's a nature. It's a nature. In the seventh chapter of Romans, Paul talks about this nature. He calls it the flesh. He said, "In this flesh dwells nothing good." There's nothing good. This sinful nature that is prone to sin and wants to sin and is stimulated by sin. There's nothing good, and there's a war between the spirit and the flesh. There's a war between the spirit and the flesh. But it was passed on. It was passed on. And there's three types of sin. This sin that it was passed on to us, there's three areas of sin that affect us and have infected us. So sin, the sin that was passed on from us through Adam, is called the Adamic sin. The Adamic sin, A-D-A-M-I-C. The Adamic sin. That's the sin that was passed on. We can't have nothing to do with about that. It was the DNA. That's in your DNA somewhere is sin. But what starts over the whole process is being born again. It starts the process over, of starting over and being born of the Spirit. And instead of Adam's DNA of sin being prevalent, now it's the Lord's DNA from the Holy Spirit is more prevalent and can be more prevalent. It may not always, you got to allow the Lord to have his way in you. And then what starts being displayed, you start looking more like your father, Jesus, Your light starts shining, his character starts coming out in you. You know, you become a peacemaker. When you were the one, when you came into on the scene, you were the one that destroyed the peace. you turned it into a violent and volatile situation. Now you calming it down. Isn't that beautiful? Now where you were hating folks and you may have been the hater, now you got love. You got love. You got that peace of God that passes all understanding. And like I said, you're spreading peace, and you're quenching the fire and the flame. You're putting it out instead of harsh words and cursing. You know, what they say to me, I'm going to come back even harder with what I say to them and how I say it, and the cussing is so sharp. One sister told me that I had tarried with, she got filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, I know Jesus changed me. She came back a year later. She said, Brother Bradshaw, let me tell you, my mouth was so sharp. She was from Chicago, the west side of Chicago. She said, I would kick your behind with words. I wouldn't even have to fight. I would just whoop you and back you down with words, huh? Now she's the sweetest, most pleasant. And instead of that fiery tongue, it's filled with praise. She ended up a praise leader, and she loved to praise the Lord. So the Lord took that tongue, that bitter tongue, that had cursing and foul language. And like James said, he takes that tongue, that bitter and sweet come out of it, cursing and blessings come out of it. And the speaking in tongues, one of the reasons that the Lord uses your tongue and gives you a language is because he takes control of that tongue. Huh? That tongue that spoke all them lies. Well, I used to do some lying. And I used to have this sort of baby, I had this baby face. I could tell a lie and everybody thought I was telling the truth. I lied so much. I told it lie so long. I forgot it was a lie. I thought I was telling the truth. I told it lie. And then I got into church and I was telling that same lie. And the Lord stopped me and just convicted my heart and let me know that's not true. That's a lie. I had to straighten that thing up, y'all. But he had to change my tongue. And that's why he takes control of your tongue. When you've completely submitted to the Lord and opened up to him, the Lord is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to start speaking in a language, a praise, beautiful praise language that the Lord gives you. That's when he fills you with the Holy Ghost. Okay. So I've kind of gotten ahead of myself, but the three areas of sin, that Adamic sin, that we were born into this world. We came into this world with that sin. And then before we get saved, he has to say, when we initially get saved, he has to save us from the present sins that we committed. Those were our responsibility. That's what we did, our sin. But it was a result of that nature that we had. And those are the things you committed. And then also, he has to save us from the sins of the future so that we're not judged with the world. Okay? So, wow, time is really moving on. And I still got a long way to go, but I'm just going to see, are there any questions or comments at this point? Are there any questions or comments at this point? Hopefully, even though this is a lesson that in things that we've heard, hopefully I'm bringing some things out that are maybe that you haven't heard it that way before. But it's all connected with the word. It's all the word. Are there any comments? Are there any questions or comments before we keep on going? So I'm going to keep on going since there's no questions or comments. Three areas of sin we have to be saved from, okay? The Adamic sin, that one we inherited, present sins that we committed all the way from when we were born all the way up to when we made up our mind, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get born again. I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, the Lord controls that process. You can't save nobody. You can't beat them over the head. And the Lord has a plan and a timing as well. But it's no coincidence you're online hearing this. But we want our sins. You know, we were born in sin. How did I get those sins off of me? Well, let's start off with Hebrews and try to make part of this clear. Hebrews 9 and 22. Make sure that's the right scripture. Hebrews 9 and 22. It says, and almost all things are by, let me get that straight. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Okay. Cleansed is what he's saying. Cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no cancellation of your sins. See, remission means a total and complete forgiveness of all my sins. And he's saying here, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So what blood, whose blood is he talking about? Whose blood is the writer talking about? He's talking about Jesus' blood, because that's all that this that the writer is alluding to in Hebrews. It points to Jesus' blood. He's magnifying Jesus' blood throughout. So the question becomes, how do I get Jesus' blood applied to my life? How do I get Jesus' blood applied to my life? Since that blood that he shed on Calvary, natural blood, it flowed down his body. It covered the cross. The cross was soaked with blood. Blood dripped down to the ground. And the ground around the cross was soaked with blood. And somewhere in that blood, in that blood, there was some blood for me. And there was some blood for you. But that natural blood dried up. It dried up 2,000 years ago. So there's spiritual blood. There's blood that can still be applied to you and is applied to you so that your sins can be remitted. So, and not only the sin, but the penalty associated with my sins. What's the penalty of sin? What's the penalty? Death. Y'all, I don't just want my sins forgiven. I want the penalty taken away. I want the penalty of death taken away. Now, he can take away the sin, forgive me, but I still need that death penalty taken off my record. See? So how do I get the blood applied to my life in this remission of sin? See, what you have to do, you got to trace this word or this term, remission of sin. You got to trace it. And where are we going to go first with that? We're going to go to Luke 24:45-48. Luke 24. Hopefully you're writing these scriptures down. And this is Jesus after he had resurrected. And they were hiding and they shaking and they scared that next, we're going to be next. They went and got Jesus and crucified him, and we're going to be next. And Jesus just shows up right in the house. He just comes right through the wall, didn't use the door, nothing. He just came right in there. That showed his redeemed body had no earthly limits. Your redeemed body will have no earthly limits. The walls, the doors, nothing can contain you. You can just, nothing can limit you. He just walked right through there. He just showed up. So he's trying to comfort them, but he's giving them information that I'm trying to give you tonight. Verse number 45, 24:45. It says this. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that's what every teacher wants. They really didn't understand what the scriptures were saying or what he was saying while he was with them. And then he says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins. Here we go. Look at this. And that repentance and remission of sin. What does it say? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So how your sins can be remitted or forgiven, he's getting ready to tell them about. He says, verse 45, let me complete this. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. It's going to be preached in his name. Whose name? Jesus' name. And he says, and you are a witness of these things. You're going to be a witness of these things. So we're tracing that word remission of sin, okay? So where does it trace to? Where does it trace to? Well, it traces to what was preached on the first day of the church in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. That term traces to the first day of the church, huh? In the book of Acts of the Apostles, which was first preached in Jerusalem. The church began in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Any theologian from any denomination will acknowledge that the church began in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And remember, we're trying to see, how do I get this blood applied to my life? So let's go over to Acts 2:38, 2:39. We know those are the plan of salvation scriptures. If you didn't know that, Acts 2:38 is how you're born again. Okay. So Peter stands up and starts preaching to these same Jews who crucified Jesus, starting with verse number, chapter 2, verse 36. He's preaching to these Jews, these same ones that said, crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas. Now, they've all come to Jerusalem on this Jewish feast day, the day of Pentecost, the one that they were to celebrate the harvest. They were coming there to celebrate the abundant harvest that the Lord had given them and the crops that had come in. But the harvest was always intended to be a harvest of souls that the Lord was talking about. And all of these souls came to Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost. And they were celebrating what they didn't know, what they didn't understand. But that day, it's called the Feast of the Harvest. And this was the beginning of the harvest, the first day of the church, with the message that Peter preached. And in verse 36, it said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both the Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were hurt. They were pricked in their heart because they just crucified the Lord of glory. He was who he said he was. It said, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, Men and brother, what shall we do to atone for this great sin that we have committed against the Lord? And what does Peter say? He says in Acts 2:38, and us folks have been around for a while, we should have this memorized, shouldn't we? Then Peter said unto them, repent, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So how do I get the blood of Jesus applied to my life so my sins can be forgiven, so that I can receive this remission of sin? It's through the name in your baptism. It's through Jesus' name in your baptism. The blood comes through the name. Please remember that. The remission of sin. The blood that the writer in Hebrews is talking about was Jesus' blood. So I get that applied to me and the cleansing power applied to my life through the baptism in Jesus' name. The blood comes through the name. The blood is rekindled when the name is called over your baptism. You don't see your sins being removed because you can't see sin, but it's by faith. You've exhibited faith by trusting in the word and getting baptized in Jesus' name. And it said for the remission, for your sins to be, for every sin that you ever committed to be forgiven. For every sin you ever committed, the worst thing you could ever imagine. That's why you need that name. This is the only formula in the Bible that removes sin. The only formula in the Bible that removes and forgives sin is the baptism in Jesus' name. And then what's the other part? He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus said, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And this is what Peter is saying right here. You got to repent first. Tell the Lord, Lord, I am sorry for all that I've done, and I'm turning away, not going back to that. And then he says, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's the baptism in water. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This scripture is telling you how to be born again of water and of Spirit. And he goes on and he says, for this promise of the Holy Ghost, he's talking about the promise. For the promise is unto you, all you Jews that are here on this day of Pentecost, and it's to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is the first altar call made in the church. This altar call extended all the way from that day, the first day of the church, all the way to today, February 26, 2025. Because he says, he said, even to all that are far off, we're the ones that were far off, way on down in the future. At this time, we were way off, all the way in 2025. But the promise is to you, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the Lord's calling. He's calling people today. He's calling us today. And Peter continued on, and we'll finish up here because I'm over time. Wow. Verse number 40-41, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Untoward means perverted. You're going to have to save yourself. You can't wait for your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your best friend. You're going to have to save yourself. This is one time in the church when it's okay to be selfish. And that's when it comes to saving yourself. You can be selfish all for yourself when it comes to making a break from the world and getting saved. And then verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received the word were what? Baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls that were saved through this message of being born again of water and Spirit, repentance, Acts 2:38. To repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I can witness this because I have experienced the born again experience, and I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. So didn't get to finish it because I want to talk about the benefits of the baptism in Jesus' name. You know, and also the benefit of receiving the Holy Ghost. But that's enough. And it's my 8:03, and Pastor Perkins is in there listening. I apologize, Pastor Perkins. Okay. Going three minutes over. God bless you. Thank you for thinking of me to teach class. And hopefully everybody got blessed. Pastor Perkins.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm down here in Murfreesboro at a parking lot not far from the hospital where I'm going to be visiting. What an awesome lesson. What a beautiful. My soul was stirring while I was fighting that I-24 traffic to get down here. So I thank you, Elder, for on very short notice stepping in and doing such a great job. Saints, I love you. Thank you for praying for my brother. Thank you for praying for me. God bless you. And Elder, I'm turning it back over to you.
Amen. You still got ministry to do. We're going to continue to pray for you. And sound like you still got work to do for the courthouse. So let us all pray for our pastors working so hard and going so many different directions and all that he's doing. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, just for an opportunity to be able to speak to your people. Lord God, let hearts be touched by you, Lord God, and continue to, as you were working with Nicodemus, those that may not have been born again yet, or the process haven't been completed, Lord, continue to minister to their hearts and minds through the words that have been spoken, that have come directly from you and from your scripture. These words are you, Lord God. So continue to work on us. And in the meanwhile, Lord, continue to bless and keep us and just show us just how good that you are every day. Bless Pastor Perkins. Lord God, his heart is always with the people, always with his people. And not just bread of heaven, but people wherever he's called and whatever, whenever he hears of somebody in need or going through or struggling or sick, Lord, he is instant in prayer. And if he needs to go, he goes and shows up in person, Lord. And Lord God, anoint him with a special anointing with words to say, Lord, the prayer to pray, Lord God, that's going to touch Sister Kay's sister, Barbara Tolliver. Lord God, continue to bless his brother. Lord God, touch his body, his mind. And Lord God, let him increase. Let him increase. Lord God, raise him up, strengthen him day by day. It's Robert Perkins. Lord, strengthen him day by day. And Lord God, let it be visible, the improvement. And let there be testimonies that come that I've been healed. I've been raised up. The Lord has strengthened me and I'm much better. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Bless all your people for the rest of the week. Lord, until we come back again in the sanctuary to give you glory and to thank you for the things that you've done, because you have surely been good to all of us. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and all of his wonderful works to the children of men. We thank you and we love you, Lord, for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Love you.
Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Bless all of you.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread. Living Bread. Please spread the word about today's broadcast. Living Bread. The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us. 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.